So we're reading from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. That's on page 920 if you want to use the church Bibles. Romans 13, 1 to 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honour, then honour. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Sue. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. Good to see you manage to put your clocks forward. I'll keep an eye out for people who wander in just as I'm finishing my talk who might have forgotten. And well, as we come to this topic, I want to start with saying, what is going on in our world right now? I'm sure it's something many of us are thinking and praying about. What are our leaders doing? What are they up to? We see the tragedy going on in Gaza right now, and we see the leaders of Israel and Hamas not able to find that path to find peace. We see the authoritarian leaders of Xi and Putin and Kim standing shoulder to shoulder at these military parades go past, while Russia continues to bomb the Ukraine. And we see Donald Trump, the self-aggrandizing, hush money-paying, tax-avoiding billionaire, as the leader of the free world. Do we ever think, how do these guys get in charge? Why, Lord? What's going on? And what are we supposed to do about it? What should we do as Christians under the authority of earthly rulers? And here at home in Australia, we see a housing crisis, climate wars, political point scoring, and I'm sure we sit back and think at times, I could do a better job than them. How do we sit under the authority of government decisions that we don't like? Well, it was even harder for the Christians in the time of the Apostle Paul. They had the risen Lord Jesus who had turned their world upside down. And what had he said to his disciples? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In Matthew 28:18. Yet they sit in persecution under Roman rule. And Paul himself had taught in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Yet their world looks nothing like that, with slavery and segregation and the degradation of women around them. So what were they to do? Rebel? Rebel and show in an uprising that Jesus is the king and uprise against the Romans? Or should they submit? to their tyrannical overlords. What was the best for the spread of the gospel and to make disciples of all nations? Well, guidance is what they needed, and it's what we need, and it's what this passage in Romans 13 provides for us. What does it mean to live as someone who belongs to the Lord Jesus, who submits to him as Lord, yet who also lives in this world with all of its structures of authority and power? What does God expect from us in relation to the authorities? That we submit to them, that we pay our taxes, that we stick to the speed limits, we don't look at our phones while we're driving. We do what middle management tells us to do. And it's not just that we're called to obey the authorities, but to place ourselves under their authority and acknowledge their right to tell us what to do. Well, how does that sit with us? I can understand if you might feel a little bit uncomfortable. And our passage today in Romans 13 has a terrible history of misinterpretation. It's been used in support of slavery in America, of apartheid in South Africa. It's been quoted to excuse German Christians for doing nothing under Hitler's Third Reich. And the US Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, misused Romans 13 in support of a government policy to separate children from parents, a policy that was then abandoned. Romans 13, it's a clear text, but it has a highly problematic history of interpretation. So why then should we submit to the authorities? Are Paul's words here a license for oppression that strengthen the hands of the oppressor? Well, no, they're not, as we'll see. Romans 13 gives us three excellent reasons to submit. And they helpfully all start with a letter C. So firstly, human authorities are chosen. We need to submit because God and his authority stands behind all human authority. Verse 1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Human authorities have been established by God so that the one who rebels against authority is in effect rebelling against what God has instituted and ultimately against God himself. And as Christians, we know that this world is not just a random matrix of power structures that have developed out of nothing. We know that even though it looks incredibly dark at times because of human sin, Jesus Christ is Lord of this world, and one of the ways he rules this world today is through the appointment of worldly authorities. And they are chosen by him for however long they are in office. It's temporary, not as unilateral eternal rulers as is often presumed by those who misuse Romans 13. So from the Prime Minister to presidents, right down to the school crossing lollipop ladies, they are there because of God's will and his intention. Hear the words of Daniel 2, verse 20 and 21. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He deposes kings and he raises others up. They're not just obstacles that we need to step around to get on with our lives. They stand in God's place. They bear his authority so that when we submit to them, we submit to him. For that's what it means to walk with Jesus Christ as our Lord. So brothers and sisters, let's submit to worldly authorities as part of our submission to King Jesus. And now at this point, the connection between Jesus' ultimate authority and the authority of the world, the delegated authority, allows us to make a very, very important qualification. Because as we've seen, Romans 13 has been used and abused in all kinds of ways. God never intended that we read this as the only word on church and state outside of the whole council of Scripture on this topic. And when we read across the whole Bible, it's very clear that though obedient submission is the normal response that God expects from us with regard to the state, we're not called to submit when the state commands what God forbids and when the state forbids what God commands. Look at some examples in the Bible. The Hebrew midwives, back in Exodus 1, they refused Pharaoh's command to kill the male newborn babies because they feared God. Daniel's mates in Daniel 3 refused to go along with Nebuchadnezzar's command to worship the golden statue, and they had a date with a fiery furnace as a result. And Daniel himself refused to pray to King Darius, landing him a night in the lion's den. And the apostles too, they were commanded by the Sanhedrin to not preach the gospel. But remember Peter's stirring words in Acts chapter 4? He says to them, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And that must be the case for us too. No matter what earthly authorities say, we must keep our allegiance to Jesus first, refusing to worship false gods, refusing to obey sinful commands, and we must keep preaching the gospel because our allegiance belongs to God first." And our Archbishop, Kanishka Raphael, actually raised a very current example of this at the synod that was on last month. It was regarding the New South Wales Conversion Practices Ban Act. Now, that act became law in April, and it has a good intention of banning gay conversion therapy, including psychological practice that had been ineffective and caused a lot of distress to people. However, the drafting of this law could potentially make it illegal to pray for someone who is seeking prayer for the work of the Holy Spirit to bring self-control, to overcome temptation to sexual sin and pursue godly living. Now, the words of our Archbishop actually echo those of Peter to the Sanhedrin. This is what he said. He said, "I will stand by any clergy person or church worker who finds themselves brought before a tribunal or court because of this poorly conceived law. We must not be silenced or intimidated from teaching God's good plan for human sexuality and relationships. We will insist on the freedom to do so, respectfully, but without fear. We will obey God. We can do nothing less." So we're not called to submit when the state commands us to do what God forbids and the state forbids us to do what God commands. But in every other context, we are. Even when they're completely incompetent or unreasonable or dishonest or tyrannical. Yes, submit to them. And we can do this in the comfort that it's God's job to hold them to account, not ours. If you look back a few verses, back into Romans 12, verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.' He will look after the injustice of earthly rulers. They will be held to account by God. And while we wait for this to happen, our job is to submit." So it doesn't matter if you like Anthony Albanese or not. He's the Prime Minister, and so we should give him what we owe him, says in verse 7. Whether that's taxes or revenue or respect and honour. And remember, we should pray for him too, as Rob prayed just now. Because Paul instructs in 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 3, I urge you, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. And why? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour. Submit to authorities, for it's part of our submission to Christ. Human authorities are chosen. We need to submit because God and His authority stands behind all human authority. Now, the second C, we should submit to authorities because there are consequences. Look at verse 2. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. There are consequences for rebelling against God's established earthly authorities. Consequences that God approves of and of which He makes no promise to protect us from. Look at verse 3 and 4. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Well, do what is right. He or she will commend us. And they're there for our good, in verse 4. And the COVID lockdowns were a good example of that. You may remember in church here, we're all sitting 1.5 metres apart with disinfectant wipes, and there were lots of rules we had to obey. Yet we did what we were told, and Australia actually had one of the lowest death rates in the whole world per capita from COVID. Our authorities did well. And I think, you know, we can be guilty of giving our leaders a pretty tough time, which I think needs a bit of reflection here in Australia, because we actually do have, again, as Rob prayed, one of the best functioning governments ever in the history of the world anywhere. We have low corruption, high transparency, good infrastructure, courts, police, schools, healthcare, yet we are often whinging about our authorities. And we now even see these sovereign citizens cropping up, you know, not wanting to obey state authority, even though they'll take the welfare checks that they're getting paid. And we've seen the tragic consequences when this rejection of civil governance gets out of hand. Our authorities do good, and we should be much more thankful of them than we are. So submit to them, knowing that if we do what is wrong, we're not going to be able to get away with it. And God has supplied them to make sure that we don't. So can I encourage us all, if we're here today and there's something that's going on in our lives that maybe nobody else knows about, but we know it's not quite right, then please go home and do whatever it takes to fix it up. Are we declaring our income honestly on our tax? Declaring any cash we bring in on our tax? Are we declaring all our savings and assets to get the right amount of pension paid? Are we visiting websites to watch pirated movies rather than paying what's due for copyright or things like that? If you realise you're doing these things, confess your sin to God. Humble yourself before Him. Know that Jesus died on the cross for these sins. And then, as a thankful lover of Jesus, let's be proactive in going on and doing the right thing. As Peter writes in 2 Peter 2 verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor, to the supreme authority, or to governors, who are sent by Him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. And Paul wrote something similar, again, just back in Romans 12, verse 21. He said, do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. God wants us to be different from the world. And that's precisely how the first Christians changed the trajectory of the entire world. Doing good, being radically different from those around them in their obedience to Roman rule as they spread the gospel. Those Roman emperors, the ones who were persecuting the Christians, the ones who Paul is saying to submit to, well, they eventually saw the Christians were being obedient to these words of Paul. And almost 300 years after he wrote these words, the Roman Emperor Constantine, as the Roman Empire was crumbling, he converted the empire to a Christian empire. And why? Well, one of the reasons was he saw that it was Christians who were the ones who were obeying the laws, paying their taxes, living at peace with their neighbours. What a witness they were to the world. And we can be too, here in the 21st century, if we heed these words of Paul. Earthly rulers are chosen, appointed by God, and there are consequences in how we respond to them. And that brings me to the third reason to submit to authorities, and that is conscience. Look at verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Conscience describes that sense of moral awareness that we have. You know, what Paul is saying here is that God wants us to submit not just for the reasons we've heard already, but also simply because it's what he wants. And our consciences should be pricked as Christians when we don't do what he wants. And I think submitting to authorities can actually be an area where our consciences can be pretty dull. I witnessed a conversation with an acquaintance not long ago when she was trying to convince her son, her teenage son, not to smoke pot. And she was saying, look, it's not healthy, but also it's against the law. You're breaking the law by doing it. And he shot back at her straight away and said, well, look, you don't obey the laws. During COVID, you didn't wear a mask and you didn't do all the things that you were asked to do during the lockdowns. And she said back to him, well, I don't obey the stupid ones. And immediately her argument evaporated. I don't obey the stupid ones. But aren't we all a bit guilty of thinking like that? You know, I don't like this law or that. I'm not hurting anyone. Everybody else does it. I didn't vote for them. Where is the line before we're all our own mini versions of sovereign citizens choosing the laws that we like and we don't like? Our consciences need to be better than that. We lose our ability to influence for good and stand out as God's people when our consciences are so dull. And look at what Paul has just written again back in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Submission to rulers, this is part of God's good and pleasing and perfect will for our lives. This is what pleases him. And when we do this, it brings glory and honor to him. For that's what Jesus did in his days in the flesh. Jesus submitted to his Father's will in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what he said? Yet not as I will, but as you will. Matthew 26:39. And even though Jesus had legions of angels, the whole host of heaven at his disposal, who would do whatever he commanded them to do, he submitted himself to an unjust execution on trumped up false charges. The King of Glory placed himself under the authority of that miserable Roman prefect, Pontius Pilate, who knew and declared that Jesus was innocent but wasn't willing to risk his own popularity to stand for the truth. And what did Jesus do in all of this? Remember that incredible scene in John 19, verses 10 and 11. Jesus stands before Pilate, sentenced to death. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" said Pilate. "Don't you realize that I have the power to either free you or crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Jesus submitted to the authorities, even though it led him to the cross. And he did it because of conscience, because he knew that this was his Father's will, that this was what God wanted. And so Jesus trusted in the goodness of God's plans and his good purposes. Jesus, the King of the universe, submitted. And that's what he calls on each one of us to do who knows him. If you don't know Jesus, then please don't hear this message as just saying, try to be more law-abiding. No, you need to get to know Jesus. Put your trust in him. Accept his gift of mercy and grace and accept him as Lord and his authority in your life. His obedience to death was so that we may have eternal life in him. And for the rest of us who already know Jesus, well, submitting to authorities is what he wants of us. And there's no promise here that it will turn out all right if we do. Sometimes the law will deal a harsh blow. We see this every day. Our immigration laws are right now to protect a nation's sovereignty will send desperate people back to terrible circumstances, even to the risk of death in returning to their home country. And we might find ourselves at the wrong end of a law that causes great pain or even death. But remember what we learned in our series when we looked at Romans 8. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All situations, even under terrible rulers, are for the good of those who love him, who are in Christ, to be made more like him. And nothing, no powers, no imprisonment, not even death at the hands of a ruler can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what Daniel and his mates knew when they resisted. They didn't know they were going to have that miraculous deliverance, but they knew that even in death, nothing could separate them from God's love. We don't submit to get good back. We submit because of Christ, because it's what he wants. His ways are higher than our ways, and submission for his sake is beautiful. And when we do this, the world sits up and the world takes notice. So why should we submit to earthly authorities? They're chosen by God, his appointed earthly authority. There are consequences in obedience and in disobedience. And because of conscience, doing what brings glory to our Lord Jesus. We live in a broken world. We have rulers where we really do scratch our heads and wonder, what are they doing? Why are they there? It isn't easy this side of heaven. But let's make sure we submit to our rulers out of love and obedience to the one who was obedient to death to give us eternal life. The one who does rule over all for all eternity. Our Lord Jesus. And in doing so, let us bring great glory and honour to our Heavenly Father. Amen.